Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So today we are talking about generosity. Can everyone say generosity? And our key verse is Matthew 6:11 for last month. I'm not going to tell you Resurrection Hunter's key verse yet, all right? We'll save that for next Sunday. Is our key verse, I'll take what I can get to survive every day, or I'll take stale leftovers to get by? Is that what that scripture says? No. It says give, can everyone say give, us today our daily bread. Not take, but give. How many know the heart of our key verse is God's generosity? Amen? The gospel at the core of what it is the generosity of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? And I hate to say it, but sometimes I don't love the world. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to love the world in the negative way, or don't take me in that light, but we are called to love like God loves. And from that love comes a giving and a generosity, because it is just the natural response to the Father's heart. Amen? So a fun fact, for the sixth year in a row, this was interesting, the world's most generous country is actually Indonesia. I didn't think that was what I was going to find this week. So it's Indonesia. And when you look up who the most generous people are in the world, according to Earth standards, they're the most wealthiest, most famous people, right? And it's true. If you have a ton of stuff, you can give a lot away. Notice I said you can, right? Doesn't mean you do, but you can. But according to Jesus, a widow's mite, which is 1/8 of a penny, can equal more than Warren Buffett's millions or billions. My husband corrected me in my notes. He said, that's not millions. That's billions. But isn't that amazing? That a penny in the kingdom of God can do more than a million in the world without God. Just think about that. A moment in God's presence can accomplish more than a lifetime apart from him. And a penny can do more with God than a million apart from him. I don't want us, as we talk about generosity, to think that we're talking about quantity in earth standards, but we are talking about a kingdom economy. It's different than earth, and we all have something to give, whether it's energy, time, finances. So this is not a financial talk. I want to be clear on that. Generosity is so much more. It is our resources. Amen? So I just want to clear that up as we're talking. So we're going to ask the question we've asked every other Sunday in March, but it's April now. Did March fly by for anyone else? My gosh, I don't even know what happened. So we're asking mana generosity, right? So again, give us today our daily bread. That word daily is connected to the word manna in the Old Testament. And that word manna means, what is it, right? I love it. So the Israelites are getting provision, the generosity of God, and they're like, but what is it? Have you ever had generosity poured out from God and you have no idea what's happening? You're like, well, this isn't what I prayed for. What is this, right? And so even the Israelites had that. So today we're asking, what is generosity? Now, you could spend your life unpacking that, so just bear with me for the next few minutes, okay? I've heard it said that generosity can sometimes feel like the birds and the bees conversation for the church. So I just want to put that out there. I heard that once, and I thought, I will never forget that. That is so true. My husband and I go around to schools and youth groups, and we teach on healthy relationships. And let me tell you, I don't know how I ever signed up for that, but I do not. I love it. It is an honor. But it is the single most awkward thing I do. And I do a lot of awkward things as pastors, but that one takes the cake with a bunch of teenagers all staring at you, right? Oh, boy. So I know the birds and the bees. So can we strap in? All right, here we go. Jesus taught more about money than any other single topic in the four Gospels. It's interesting, but I have heard that used as a justification that we should just talk about money. That is not what I'm saying this morning. But how many know that money, or time or energy, when we talk about our resources, reveals our heart's intention. So I would dare say Jesus talked more about our heart's intention than any other thing, right? And so it matters to God. Generosity in the dictionary is defined as showing a readiness. Everyone say readiness. That was interesting. To give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected. Grace definition. I love this. Grace is the act of giving acceptance or unconditionally and voluntarily to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. How many know God was not obligated to give grace through the cross? And unfortunately, sometimes we live our life as if God is just obligated to show up and make it right. He's not obligated. It's amazing grace, not amazing obligation, right? So we don't have obligation either, right? It's grace. It's amazing grace. And I love the connection between generosity and grace because, again, at the heart of the gospel is generosity. You can't have the gospel without it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I think sometimes the enemy likes to get us to doubt that God is giving anything to you. Have you ever heard that lie? Well, God doesn't have anything for you. God's not giving you anything this season. When really, God is always giving. The question is, are we receiving? How are we receiving? And I know I have fallen into this. Like, I see how God is giving to Caleb. And, you know, maybe Caleb, I don't know, I'm not talking financially, I'm just talking in general. Like, God's just pouring out something in Caleb's life. And Caleb's talking about it. And I'm like, well, I'm not getting that. So I must, God just must not be giving me anything. But how many know that God gives something to you that's different to me? Sometimes it looks the same, often it doesn't. But he's always giving. Can we just say always giving? And it is our greatest gift to discover what that is every season. He's always giving. To be generous is to embody the nature of God. Again, as I said in the offering, Jesus said to his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Like the quarters. They're like, well, can you give this to me so I can receive it so that I can give? Oftentimes when we come to church, it's like, God, I just need to receive something because how many know Monday through Friday, it's a lot of giving. Amen? I hope it's a lot of receiving, though, too. That's why we're talking about these habits, to cultivate that. But the act of receiving is so important to the gospel that John tells us it's actually how we become children of God. In John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's how much receiving matters. Isn't that powerful? As I was writing this week, I thought, man, the world can only be generous with brokenness. That's all the world can be generous with. But only God can be generous with wholeness and salvation. Isn't that incredible? The world can only